Greetings, my friend. It's certainly a joy and a privilege to be with you again this month. I trust as you listen to this tape, if the phone happened to ring or some doorbell rings or something abnormal, that's not probably abnormal for your house, but it is sort of abnormal for me to be making a tape under these conditions. But this past week, I have been nursing a problem with the flu and another little problem that has come up. And so I'm having to do this tape today in my living room, and I'm somewhat weakish yet over the flu, and we're going to have to leave here in a few hours, and so you will excuse the environment. I trust it will not be a distraction to you. It's certainly always a joy to come to you by the means of tape each month, and we hear from so many of you, and it's just such an encouragement to see how the Lord is blessing and see how He's directing, and to have you to write us and you know, suggest different things as well as ask us questions. I would appreciate you praying very much for our office, because we are growing and doing so many different things that it is in a constant transition condition, and it's almost impossible for a person to work under our particular conditions, and I mean room-wise. Now, it may be that the Lord will have solved that problem by the time you get this tape, but I wish you just keep the office and its activities on your heart and mind and pray as the Lord would give you liberty. Now, the Lord has definitely speaking to my heart, telling me that He's going to sustain my going in and coming out and going in. And over, He has told me that through the years. And I believe He will complete the course that He has put within our hearts. And I praise God. I think I can say with Paul, it would bless me to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. But it also blesses me to be able to continue and preach and pray and study the Word of God and live for Jesus. So I trust that you will pray about these matters. And I want to introduce something to you that I've been wanting to do for many, many, many years. And that is, I have had it in my heart to teach younger people or even elderly people what I know about trusting the Lord. I feel like it's such a vital part of the Christian life. There should not ever be any kind of Christian experience apart from faith. And so, realizing more recently just how central this message was, how important, how relative it really is, I began to see some light that I wanted to teach the younger people how to trust God, and yet here the Lord had entrusted me with all this years of experience, and so, you know, I want to teach them. So out of this has come a great desire through the years to have a school of faith. Now, we have put out a set of tapes. We refer to them as a school of faith, but this school of faith is actually a course, correspondence-type course, that would actually get you more involved in reading books and listening to tapes and watching videotapes that would go way beyond anything I have suggested. In fact, it would be like a classroom situation where you would get 3 hours credit for, you know, so much work done. Now, this particular course has two objectives. One is to impart the truth to you about the message of faith in the Bible. Now, of course, we can all get involved in this pretty easily. But the second objective of this study is to get you living in the position of faith. Now, that's not going to be a small challenge to us, but I believe the Lord's in it. It certainly solves a problem of a lot of people trying to travel with me, because it would cost any person a fortune to just travel with me, you know, because my travel is so expensive. Now, if you are interested in getting into this tape, the School of Faith tapes, and the books and so on, what will happen is that you need to write us and let us know that you're interested, and then we will write you a letter telling you in detail, you know, what is going to happen and what we're trusting the Lord for in this particular involvement. And, of course, at that time, you will have the option where you want to really get in it or back off. And, of course, we trust that everyone would get involved in it, because I just believe it. It's going to be such a unique study. I wished I had had someone to commit themselves teach me how to trust the Lord when I was a younger man. But nevertheless, we're doing that. We're going to impart the truth about the message, and then we're going to then lead people into that truth and work with them, you know, until we believe that they have come to understand the basic issues that they face and how to deal with them by faith. So I'm really excited about this. And again, let me say that if you write and tell us you're interested in this, then we will send you a detailed letter as to what it would cost, how you pay for it, and how many books you get, and so on and so forth. In fact, your first order of books and tapes will exceed the amount that we basically are asking people to give to get involved in it. And so I know you would want those details, so we have a letter written up explaining what we're going to do. And when you receive that letter, then you have an option as to whether or not you want to go ahead with it. And if you do, of course, you can let us know, and then we'll put you in the list for the tape ministry. Now, I trust you're praying for me, because I am really having some ups and downs physically. You know, it's nothing abnormal. There's one thing that if the Lord doesn't stop a problem in my hands, I could start losing my fingers joint by joint. And, of course, I don't anticipate that in a pleasurable way, but I know the Lord is still Lord, and He's in charge. And at this point, I'm thinking He's going to clear those fingers up. But nevertheless, I need your prayers about this whole thing, because I just believe God would have my friends like you to pray that the Lord will reveal His will and we'll be able to trust Him to see His will done in earth as it's being done in heaven. Now, you probably have noticed I've had a little trouble talking, and I'm sorry, I apologize for that, but as I said, I have been going through an experience with the flu, and it's been pretty devastating. And so I'm not 100% today. Now, I want to read a passage to you in relationship to the message today. And let me say this before I get into this message. You may have received a tape from me in the last 6 months that deals with the matter of revival along these lines. Although I felt that I was too, in fact, I felt for 2 weeks now that I was supposed to bring this particular type of message to you. And so I'm going to do that, and I pray that you'll be able to respond to it. You know, it's very important that we not only hear the word, but we mix the word with faith. And when we do that, then the Lord is able to convert that truth off the pages of the Bible and convert it to reality in our lives. So you look with me, and we will go through this message as the Lord has put it on my heart. The scripture reading that I want to do is found in Joel. It's an Old Testament passage. And of course, when you're dealing with Joel, you know, you have to deal with the historical fact of the book and the present application of the book, and so also the prophetic revelation. So a lot of these passages we're dealing with definitely deal with prophetic revelation, but I want us to make a practical application out of this passage. It's found in 2nd chapter, Joel 2, chapter 16. gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, those that suck the breast, let the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber, and the bride out of her chamber, or closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. Now, I realize that this passage, you know, in its literal interpretation, which is applied here to the prophetic revelation, is somewhat limited to the nation of Israel. But I think the principles that are laid out in this portion of Scripture can be a real encouragement to us, and I think the Lord can make this particular portion of Scripture a promise to us for our given situation. Now, the title of this message today is Why Should We Pray for Our Spiritual Awakening? Now, of course, you realize that I have been dealing with this spiritual awakening issue a good while, and I don't know that I'm going to say anything different than I have said before, but I'm impressed to deal with this, so I'm going to deal with it the best I can, you know, in this length of time and with the preparation I have had. So if it sounds like something I've already said, I would suggest that you listen for a twist of an emphasis that have not been said in recent months. So why should we pray for a spiritual awakening? A number one reason we should pray for a spiritual awakening, it is a act of God through man, where God really is given all the glory. Now, I know you've heard me say that a revival would restore God to the position where people would bow down and say, He is the Lord. He is the living God. He is the mighty God. And, of course, what I basically am making reference to, I'm talking about the lost people of the world will recognize that our God is the Lord, the living God, the only true and living God. And you just can't imagine how badly that's needed, because most people will come up with a statement like this, well, we're all headed to the same place, we're just getting there differently. And they're referring to the division among Christians, but I just have a difficult time accepting that permissive type of view. And so I just believe that God so wants to manifest himself that even the heathen will bow down and say, He is Lord. He is the living God. He is the true God. Surely He is the Son of the living God who died on the cross to save us. Surely the Word of God is true. See, I believe that God can send such a mighty awakening among us that the lost people in the world will literally realize their position, and they realize that the Lord God is the King of glory. Now, I don't mean they'll all get saved, but definitely the Lord will bring glory and honor to himself. And as far as I can tell, this is the only real, genuine motive we should have when we pray for revival or a spiritual awakening. Now, I may use the word revival, meaning a spiritual awakening. Those two terms mean so much the same to me that I use them without thinking. So we must get back to a real, genuine spiritual awakening. Because this is a, whereby God is glorified, because this is the motive that really can be blessed. And also it's the motive that God can honor and respond to. And definitely we want to pray in line with what God is up to. You see, he says the word is settled in heaven. And he tells us that God's plan is already laid out. And we are to discover it by faith and make it operative here on earth. So we need to pray for a spiritual awakening, because it will return God to his lofty position of lordship, whether these people get saved or not. So we need to pray for spiritual awakening for that reason. And then we need to pray for spiritual awakening because it's through the spiritual awakening approach that most people get saved. And certainly the maturity of the converts are a great deal different than our other style of evangelism. Now, I am not trying to say that we should do away with evangelism as such. I don't think you'll ever get out of the fact or the responsibility that you're supposed to be a witness every day, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you're supposed to tell them about Jesus. Now, I don't mean a silent witness. I'm talking about a person that is not only Christian in character, but they are verbalizing their position and they're sharing their position with other people. Now, but it's a proven fact that when a spiritual awakening comes, just many, many people get saved. And a lot of preachers will say, well, the Lord did here in one day what it would take him 2 years to do without the Holy Spirit. So I just really believe that the Lord wants to send us a revival. And we can pray for revival, a spiritual awakening, on the basis that it's a means, a unique means, the best means, by which are reaping the lost, really getting them saved by the grace of God. And you know, if you get a man down the aisle and baptize him and he's not really saved, he's not going to help you much. And not only that, but he's not going to be an honor and glory to God. Now, a spiritual awakening is another great factor in church history. Now, I'm talking about from the New Testament day on, or if you want to go all the way back through the Old Testament, you can see this principle at work. When God got ready to correct his people, we'll enlarge it other than just the church, his people. And when he got ready to enlarge his people, it seems that a revival or awakening atmosphere was necessary for this to be done. And so, you know, I really believe that we need to pray for a spiritual awakening, not only that the Lord might be restored to his position of glory, but that it is the most effective way of reaching the lost. And thirdly, it is a proven fact that God has always sent a mighty awakening to correct his people and enlarge his people. And I would think that we need both of those areas in our lives. We need the enlargement and as well as we need some correction. So there's a third reason why we ought to have a spiritual awakening, why we need to pray earnestly for spiritual awakening. And another reason is because the Lord has promised an awakening in the Bible. And of course, all faith is built off the truth. And if we could discover the fact that God had promised a revival in the Bible, then we could stand on that promise and really claim the victory. And I don't know how long it'd take to break through the victory, but we could stand on that promise and claim the victory. Now, you might say, well, does the Bible promise a revival in the last days? Well, I know I've said this many times recently because I've been preaching some on the book of Revelation, but that passage said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, he said, I'll come in with him and sup with him, and he can sup with me. Now, certainly that's an invitation for revival. Certainly that's an invitation to all the churches. At the end of the church age now, he turns and deals with them on this basis. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And so I think that is one scriptural reference that really would indicate that the Lord is ready and willing to send revival. Now, the measure of this revival will be determined by the measure of your faith. And very likely, the measure of your faith will be determined by the measure of the truth you have received. So I'm not trying to put down a damper on this thing at all, but I do know that revivals come in different measure, and it's always in the measure of the faith that the people have. So I trust that we will be able to seek the mind of the Lord on this and pray for a spiritual awakening that the Lord might be able to restore the church to New Testament Christianity. at least New Testament Christianity. Now, there's an Old Testament passage that talks about the former rain and the latter rain, and some of the great men alive, and you know I have said this over and over, believed in the latter rain, and I somewhat believe in it myself, because I just believe the only way the Lord is going to be able to sanctify the church and iron it out and get all the spots and wrinkles out of it is by sending a mighty spiritual awakening. So if you go through the pattern of how God has corrected and enlarged his people, and also the fact that, you know, he talks about a latter rain, and he talks about standing at the door and knocking. And so I believe that we can have revival anytime we personally would be willing to pay the price. And we should pray for a mighty spiritual awakening, because it will restore the church to a normal Christianity, and it will enlarge the church. It will definitely enlarge the church. Now, another thing, and this may be a wrong motive here to deal with, but I think we ought to pray for spiritual awakening for the purpose that it could save our country. Now, the Bible says that the righteousness exalteth the nation, and that sin is a curse. Now, when revival comes, people get holy. They get right with God. They get holy. And when you get people that are holy, you have a condition of righteousness. And the Lord said, righteousness exalteth the nation. In other words, if the Lord had found X number of people in Sodom and Gomorrah that were righteous, he would not have destroyed it, obviously. He would have given it more time. Well, there's a lot of people out there that's been marked, but we need to get out there and live a righteous life before them so they will have a real opportunity to come to Jesus and at the same time save our country. Now, you know, I understand that the third world countries are outstripping all of the major powers countries in reaching lost. I understand that. That's wonderful. But still, America is probably one of the largest contributors to Christian causes of any nation in the world, not only by personnel, but by finances. And so I think we need to pray for a spiritual awakening, for the fact that I believe it would literally save our nation. Now, I know that a lot of us think the men in Washington, D.C. and so on and so forth is really saving our nation, but let me tell you something. The people that save in our nation are people who are righteous, who are holy people, godly people. And I don't know how many times in a lifetime we would have a real experience of coming to grips with the Lord and have him to restore us to our righteousness that we ought to have. But however many times we have, we ought to be as righteous as we can be and still be human enough that we can still work on this earth. And so I trust that we'll pray for a mighty spiritual awakening, because it will establish righteousness. It'll get lost saved and get the right with God. And so I believe it would just save a nation. I believe it's the only hope of saving this nation, is just get as holy as we can get. And then God will move in his way if we'll make that a real priority in our lives. Now, another reason why I think that we need to pray for a mighty spiritual awakening, do you know throughout church history, every time there was a spiritual awakening, the social order and social activities were just revolutionized. Now, I realize we have a world of people out here. In fact, maybe half of the preachers in the country would rather be in social work than they are in the pulpit. And sometimes I wonder why they do not go out there and get in the work world and get out of the pulpit. But here's what I'm trying to say to you is, every time there's been a great spiritual awakening, out of that spiritual awakening will come a number of humanitarian type social activities that really has made a contribution to the world. and the culture that's in the world. So we need a spiritual awakening for the fact that it will actually take on social activities. Now, if we get social and just have a social gospel, then we have destroyed people. That's not what I'm talking about. We preach a genuine gospel and have a spiritual awakening, and it will just reclaim just so much activity that will just go on in a social level and not even a spiritual level. Of course, you know, you have to realize that God is not only involved in just the spirit of a man, the eternity for a man, getting him to heaven. He is interested in that, primarily, foremost, ultimately. That's what he wants, is to get people saved. But he's also interested in people learning and studying, praying, and learning how to walk with him and really fellowship with him right here. He's really after that. And so you go on a little further, he is also interested in helping people that are starving to death and people that are in dire need for different reasons. And so I have found that if you have a spiritual awakening, people will be awakened to their responsibility in this area, and they will respond to it. And I'm not so sure that we need organizations to help us respond to it. But nevertheless, in other words, a spiritual awakening will affect human relationships and human activity in relationship to food, clothing, sickness, and all this. And so we need a spiritual awakening today. In fact, if we do not have a spiritual awakening, you know, I don't know what's going to happen to us. And I think one of the reasons we do not have a spiritual awakening is that we do not have a clear definition of what a spiritual awakening is. And as a result of that, some person comes along with some kind of subjective experience, and it's very real to him or her, but in comparison to the Word of God, it's not real. So they build kingdoms off of this subjective experiences, or one experience, if maybe more. And, of course, you have new groups, new denominations, and all that started. And we're seeing a lot of this happen. But I do believe that the Lord could send revival that would correct this. But definitely, we do not understand what a spiritual awakening is. Now, when you do not understand what one is, you naturally are not going to want something you don't understand. And so we need to really should be able to share with people the meaning of a spiritual awakening. And I think another reason why the spiritual awakening is hindered is because we are so stereotyped and institutionalized in our lives and in our groups that we work with that the Holy Spirit cannot work in that circumstances. He has to have freedom and liberty to work. So I think that's another reason why we are not seeing the glory of God like we should. But let's do pray that God will help send us a mighty, mighty spiritual awakening. Now, I don't know what kind of price you'll have to pay. Now, I know Jesus paid for our sins at Calvary, but I do know that man has to come to the cross daily and denounce himself, deny himself, and out of that, you know, will become a living waters. Now, here's what I really feel, that if we just literally paid the price that God demands, that we could have revival. Now, I look at men today, and they said they're paying the price, and I see, you know, so little evidence that they're paying the price. It really confuses me. But I do know that if we paid the price, God will come through. God will definitely come through. He will bring these things to pass. And so I trust that you will pray for a mighty spiritual awakening. Now, I trust that you will enjoy this tape, that it's been a blessing to you. I know it's a little short, but as I shared with you at the beginning of the tape, I have had a problem with the flu, and it's lasted a number of days, and even this morning I'm having difficulty talking as I share with you because of this flu. But, you know, the Lord said through Paul that he's knocked down on many occasions but not knocked out, and I think that's the way I feel today. I've been knocked down but not knocked out. But you pray with us and continue to rejoice with us as the Lord is supernaturally sustaining us day by day and keeping us going for His glory. May the Lord bless you, my friend, Brother Manley.